Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, November the 14th. Let's begin on the front page. Brandt looks to normal to expand internationally. Canada-based ag business aims to set up U.S. headquarters. Gavin Semple, one of six children raised on a modest Western Canadian farm, landed a sales job for an agricultural equipment company and eventually bought it. Over the years, with the help of his son and eventually more than 1,800 employees, he built a multi-billion-dollar group of companies based in Regina, Saskatchewan. Now, Semple, the chairman, and his son Sean, president and CEO of Brandt Group of companies, are considering a central Illinois site as the U.S. headquarters for their agricultural business as part of an aggressive plan to grow their business internationally. If they can reach an agreement with the current owners of Kong Skilled Industries in rural Normal and are able to secure an incentive package involving the area's taxing bodies, they plan to manufacture agricultural products here, including grain carts, grain augers, and belt conveyors. Their proposal could bring 300 to 500 jobs in the next 10 years. Eye on Illinois. At a time when many companies are leaving in Illinois for neighboring states, Brandt is considering the land of Lincoln as best suited to meet its business plans and philosophy. The company made Illinois one of the finalists, along with sites in other states, including Iowa and Ohio, that are generally thought to be more business-friendly. This community and Brandt would be a good match, said Kyle Hamm, CEO of Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. McLean County has a long successful history of a good economy, with agricultural roots being one of the leaders or the leader of corn and soybean production in the nation, Hamm said. The strong insurance, financial, healthcare, and education community here, with Illinois State University, Illinois Wesleyan University, and Heartland Community College, attracted Brandt to the central Illinois location. That, combined with its vast infrastructure, including the intersection of three interstate highways and a superior airport, makes the community a contender, he added. Then there are the potential jobs. While the Illinois unemployment rate remains around 5%, the Illinois Department of Employment reports a decline in jobs in recent months. In September, Illinois' non-farm jobs decreased by 10,800, and in August the job loss was 2,600 from the previous month. With the impending closure of Kong Skilled Factory and the vacancy of the building, timing is perfect to return a few jobs and bring new high-paying family wage jobs here, said Hamm. Brandt has 27 John Deere dealerships throughout Canada and is the largest Deere construction and forestry dealership network in the world. The company employs more than 1,800 people in Canada and the United States, and provides services in 20 countries. In addition to the John Deere construction and forestry sectors, they also have divisions specializing in pipeline and mining industry equipment, custom products, railroad equipment and agriculture products, and construction attachments. Company philosophy. During a recent interview with Gavin Semple at his headquarters in Regina, it became clear the Normal location coincides well with his and his son's philosophy and experience. The site was initially established by Illinois farmer-inventor Rich Fulmer, who started Progressive Farm Products in 1978 and built a factory to produce spraying and fertilizer equipment in 1988. Fulmer sold his company and factory in 2010 to Kong Skilled Industries, a Danish-based company started by two blacksmiths in 1949. Kong Skilled, which had set up U.S. operations in the area 8 years earlier in Normal with a handful of employees, started at the new factory with 40 employees and grew to more than 100 at its peak of production and painting tillage and other farm equipment. Last year, Kongskild sold its tillage and hay lines to CNH, which leased the factory until it could move production to its own site. Kongskild Industries is downsizing and moving to a new location in Normal. Brandt expects to decide formally on Wednesday to take ownership of the 200,000 square foot plant on December the 15th, intending to expand the current factory and increase the number of employees working in the Bloomington Normal area and elsewhere in the U.S. in the coming years. The Semples already have ties to Illinois. Two of Sean Semple's sons graduated from universities in the state, Northwestern in Evanston and DePaul in Chicago. We are honored. Brandt is considering our community. We applaud their long history as a family business and respect what they've done, said Ham. Council rejects VenueWorks BCPA offer. VenueWorks will stick to managing just the Grossinger Motors Arena in hopes of turning a profit, and the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts will stick to its mission of offering cultural activities to diverse audiences regardless of the bottom line. The City Council voted unanimously Monday to reject the Ames, Iowa-based arena management company's offer to take over operation of the city-owned BCPA, which will remain under the direction of the city's Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Department. The whole purpose of this was to provide cultural activities for the community, former Mayor Jesse Smart said during the public comment portion of the meeting. There's a new philosophy that wasn't there 20 years ago when I was mayor, that everything has to make money. That wasn't the purpose. It was to provide something to the community that was needed, said Smart, adding the BCPA was conceived during his tenure and completed under Judy Markowitz's administration. He and his wife are among 200 to 300 BCPA volunteers, and I don't really think the 200 or 300 of us are going to go down there and help some outfit make more money, he said. We're doing it for the community, not for the benefit of somebody that's a profit organization. The city has allocated $1.7 million annually from sales tax receipts to pay for bonds that allowed for the purchase and renovation of the former Scottish Rite Temple. The BCPA's current $2.64 million operating budget includes a projected deficit of about $500,000. Word to Alderman David Sage and other aldermen said constituents have questioned whether VenueWorks was the right manager for the BCPA because not enough acts are booked at the arena 18 months after VenueWorks took over what was the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. Arena Executive Director Lynn Cannon said that VenueWorks booked 13 non-sports events in its first fiscal year, April 30, 2016 to May 1, 2017, and it is on track to top that. This year, we're already at 7 events that we've booked, and we're looking at announcing a couple more events in the very near future. So we're up to 9 events, and we still have 6 months to go this fiscal year, she added. We have a lot of dark nights in both buildings, and not every show can play at the arena, but there are a lot of shows that can play at the BCPA, said Cannon. After the vote, Cannon told the Pantograph, "We were looking at some cost efficiencies and some opportunities for new revenue, and the City Council decided to go in another direction. I know it is very hard to choose to turn down a contract, but that probably would save the city money. We all knew it was going to be a tough vote." VenueWorks President Steve Peters previously said the city could see $200,000 in cost savings annually by sharing personnel costs between the BCPA and Arena. For taking on BCPA management, VenueWorks proposed a flat monthly fee of $3,000 plus the same 5% commission it gets for food, beverage, and other sales at the arena. The city's cultural district comprises the BCPA, the Creativity Center, which is a converted medical office building used for offices and art education space, and the neighboring McLean County Arts Center. Vicki Tilton, president of the nonprofit Friends of the BCPA, said that she was pleased with the council's decision. "I think what's really important now is for the city to move ahead with filling the position of the director and other positions that will make it very successful," said Tilton. That position has not been permanently filled since the unexpected death of the former BCPA director Tina Salamone at 58 in early March. Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Director Jay Tetzloff said, "The city will begin seeking a performing arts manager who will build a team in filling the four other vacant BCPA management positions, including a fundraiser to help offset costs at the BCPA." Former City Manager David Hales urged the council to consider the proposal because the city has had to provide an increasing subsidy to help offset BCPA's losses. Unit 5 Board warily approves tax deal. After a lengthy debate, the McLean County Unit 5 Board voted 5-2 Monday in favor of a property tax abatement deal with the Brandt Group of Companies, though many voiced their distaste at Unit 5 losing so much revenue. The Normal-based school district was the first of seven government bodies to make a decision regarding a property tax abatement deal with Brandt Group of Companies. The Canadian-based manufacturer of equipment for agriculture and other industries is eyeing a soon-to-be-vacant factory at 19500 North 1425 East Road north of Normal. The move, which could generate up to 500 jobs for McLean County in the next decade, is contingent upon the area's taxing bodies agreeing to a decade-long formula of tax abatements. "It sounds like Brandt is a great company and would be very good for the community, but I'm not understanding why this should be on the backs of our kids," said board member Tanya Leffler, adding that she felt the board was not given enough time to review the deal. Through the agreement, the district would lose nearly $40,000 each year in property tax revenue until 2020, when the loss would jump to about $80,000 annually. Leffler and David Fortner were the two no votes. "In the grand scheme of things, when losing $80,000 a year, that's like taking away two teaching positions in exchange for bringing over 300 jobs to McLean County," said Board Vice President Barry Hitchens. Kyle Hamm, president of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, said the final agreement was formed with insight from Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. "We understand the financial issues you face," Hamm told the board. "That's why, for the first few years, we lessened the amount of money abated out. That was a deliberate approach and request from the school district that we built in." Board member Joe Cleary said that he would put his faith in school administrators who contributed to the negotiations. "I don't like the deal," said Cleary, "but I'm going to have to back our administration on this because if we turn this down, we're giving up an opportunity for our community." Daniel said the increase in jobs at the plant would keep more families in the district, which could impact funding from the state. "The new state school funding formula is driven by students," said Daniel. "If we have declining enrollment, it will impact us even more in regards to dollars coming from the state." However, Daniel said the blow to the already hurting education fund will be difficult. "If you're not growing as a district, you're dying. In the long term, the deal will benefit our community and schools," said Daniel. Brandt President and CEO Sean Semple told the board via conference call that the company would provide in-kind contributions such as internships and technical education for students interested in mechanic and welding careers. "I'm willing to invest in Illinois. I believe in the market we're moving to, but I ask the local community to also view this as an investment," said Semple. Under the agreement, taxing bodies would give up half of their property taxes on the building for 2018, 2019, 2023, and 2024, and all of the property taxes for 2020, 2021, 2022, if Brandt hits specific hiring targets each year. They also would agree to give up all property taxes on adjacent, currently vacant land from 2018 to 2027, and 5 years of property taxes generated by future improvements to the plant by 2027. In another article, Township questions Brandt deal. Supervisor requests more information before making recommendation. At least one taxing body has some issues with a proposed deal that would bring up to 500 jobs to McLean County in exchange for tax breaks. Normal Township Supervisor Sarah Grammer is not recommending that the Township Board, one of several bodies set to approve a property tax abatement this week, sign off on Brandt Group of Companies' plan to expand a soon-to-be-vacant factory at 19500 North 1425 East Road, north of Normal. I believe that additional information about the project is needed and additional requirements of Brandt should be obtained, she wrote in a memo to the board. Until additional information is forthcoming from the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council or Brandt, I am unable to make a favorable recommendation on this. The project might continue without the township's abatement. The township's share of property taxes from the site is currently $5,430 per year, though that amount would change if Brandt improves the site. The total tax bill for the affected properties is currently $127,444. We'll be meeting with township officials Wednesday or possibly Thursday to work through those concerns, said EDC President Kyle Hamm. There could be recommendations from any of the taxing bodies to make changes. Grammer said that she hoped McLean County Unit 5 School Board and the McLean County Board would wait. The Unit 5 Board, after much discussion, approved the deal on a 5-2 vote Monday. The County Board is expected to vote today. The Township Board is set to act on the deal during a meeting at 8:15 a.m. Thursday. Grammer questioned why the agreement is missing common elements for development pacts that protect the taxing bodies and they help local contractors. There is no cap on property taxes that will be abated by the taxing districts. It is difficult to calculate the economic impact of this agreement, both for the developer and the taxing districts, she wrote. The agreement lacks clawback provisions, so it does not require Brandt Industries to reimburse the taxing districts should the company close or otherwise significantly diminish its operations. Grammer noted the agreement refers to a capital investment schedule Brandt filed with the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to get state incentives. Without it, the township doesn't know how much Brandt will spend improving the property. The property tax abatement agreement does not require or state that Brandt shall make a minimum investment, only that the company intends to make an investment. But without the DCEO documents, we don't know what the projected investment might be. Mike O'Grady, vice president at the EDC, said no budget materials from Brandt are available, wrote Grammer. DCEO did not respond to requests for that documentation on Monday. There is no prevailing wage nor local preference clause for construction work and remodeling included in this proposed agreement, both of which would strengthen the local economic impact, Grammer also wrote. Daily Digest rallied today in front of BCPA. Twin City activists will hold a rally at 5:30 p.m. this evening in front of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts to protest the Republican tax plan. John Pryor, a retired professor at Illinois State University, will speak on the impact of the plan on higher education. The event, sponsored by Stand Up for Social Justice, will begin with a moment of silence for the victims of the November 5th massacre at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. The group holds monthly vigils at the BCPA. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, November 14th, the 318th day of 2017. There are 47 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On November 14th, 1889, inspired by the Jules Verne novel Around the World in 80 Days, New York World reporter Nellie Bly, Elizabeth Cochran, set out to make the trip in less time than the fictional Phileas Fogg, and she completed the journey in 72 days. On this date in 1851, Herman Melville's novel Moby Dick, or The Whale, was published in the United States almost a month after being released in Britain. In 1910, Eugene B. Ely became the first aviator to take off from a ship as his Curtiss Pusher rolled off a sloping platform on the deck of the scout cruiser the USS Birmingham off Hampton Roads, Virginia. In 1925, the first group exhibit of surrealistic paintings opened at the Galerie Pierre in Paris. In 1940, during World War II, German planes destroyed most of the English town of Coventry. In 1954, the president of Egypt, Mohamed Naguib, was deposed by the Revolutionary Command Council, leaving Gamal Abdel Nasser fully in charge as acting head of state. In 1965, the U.S. Army's first major military operation of the Vietnam War began with the start of the five-day battle of Ia Drang. The fighting between American troops and North Vietnamese forces ended on November the 18th, with both sides claiming victory. In 1969, Apollo 12 blasted off for the moon. In 1970, a chartered Southern Airways DC-9 plane crashed while trying to land in West Virginia, killing all 75 people on board, including the Marshall University football team and its coaching staff. Thought for today, rewards and punishments are the lowest form of education. Written by Chuang Tzu, Chinese writer, 369 BC to 286 BC. Back to articles. Widmer leaning to approval of abatement. The president of Heartland Community College, one of several taxing bodies affected by the proposed Brandt Factory project, expects to recommend approving tax breaks to bring up to 500 jobs to McLean County. "I would anticipate recommending approval," said Heartland President Rob Widmer, who is reviewing a deal to bring Brandt Group of Companies to a soon-to-be-vacant factory north of Normal. "If that property is not used and would not be invested in, it's more likely to deteriorate and lose value over time." Heartland is one of seven bodies that could give up property tax revenue over the next decade to bring the Canadian company to central Illinois. Under the proposed formula, the abatements would total $670,000 using current property values, which are likely to change as Brandt improves the site. The affected parcels currently generate a combined $127,444 per year in property taxes. "The long-term impact of the development is important," said Widmer, noting the agreement has specific job creation targets that must be met to receive the tax abatements. The Heartland District currently receives about $9,295 in property tax revenue from the improved property that is part of the package and $491 in revenue from the unimproved farm ground. Under the agreement, Brandt would agree to provide in-kind contributions to the McLean County Unit 5 School District and Heartland equal to 50% of the total amount of taxes abated by each district. The nature of those in-kind contributions would be determined by consultation with both sides. Widmer said that potentially could include some management expertise, internships or other educational experiences, and equipment from Brandt. Although the college would lose property tax revenue under the agreement, it might have the opportunity to gain revenue by providing customized training for Brandt employees, as it has for other businesses in the area. Widmer said the college would be interested in training opportunities. Heartland's board will take up the matter at 6 p.m. November 21st in its Community Common Building on Robb Road in Normal. Meanwhile, McLean County officials could not be reached for comment on the deal Monday. The county receives $15,000 per year from the affected properties. The county board will meet to consider the agreement today. The board's executive committee will meet in regular session at 4:30 p.m., followed immediately by a special meeting of the full board. Both are on the fourth floor of the government center at 115 East Washington Street in Bloomington. Normal Township is set to consider the deal 8:15 a.m. Thursday at 304 East Mulberry Street in Normal. Township Supervisor Sarah Grammer said she has concerns about abating part of what's now $5,430 per year between its general fund levy and road district levy under the current deal. The Hudson Area Public Library District and Hudson Community Fire Protection District currently collect $4,113 per year and $9,506 per year, respectively. Hudson officials could not be reached for comment. McLean County Unit 5 School Board approved the deal on a 5-2 vote Monday. The district will forego part of what's now about $80,000 per year in property taxes. There is a large photograph on this page with a photo of three firemen and smoke coming out of a building. And the information is firefighters battle barn fire in Leroy. Leroy firefighters battle a fire that heavily damaged a 30 by 30 foot barn Monday afternoon at 25288 Chestnut Street on Leroy's south side. Assistant Chief Ed Underhill said some chickens were lost and a pet rabbit was taken to a veterinarian. Leroy police said an explosion was heard about the time the fire was discovered. Underhill said the fire, which was brought under control in about 15 minutes, remains under investigation, but the cause was accidental. No one was home at the property owned by Christian Galleon at the time of the fire. There were no injuries. The Downs and the Farmer City Fire Departments and Leroy Police assisted at the scene. Today's Flick Fact. Question, true or false? The weather in Argentina thoroughly affects life right here in central Illinois. And the answer is, that's true. If the corn and bean growing weather is good in Argentina, that drives down farm prices here and vice versa. Public safety. Cocaine. A Bloomington man was sentenced to 7 years in prison for delivery of cocaine. Jarrell Myrick, 22, of the 2100 block of East Empire Street, pleaded guilty to delivery of cocaine in a December 2016 drug transaction. Seven other drug charges were dismissed in the plea agreement. Myrick was given credit for 330 days in jail. Today, Merwin at Gallery of the Ames School of Art, Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, will host a poetry reading by poet Spencer Reese. That will be at 4 p.m. There will be a film screening at 7 p.m. of Voices Beyond the Wall, 12 love poems from the murder capital of the world. We've now come to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.